Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
My mom always says that I like little boy voices, vocals. I'm like, this is too much. I'm not even drunk.
This is awesome. This is rolling. Okay.
I'm JP, and this is another edition of Sound Waves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and we're one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. On today's episode, it's all about local music with Slug's editorial team. I am joined by everybody that's important at Slug, basically, right? Who's that? On the editorial team, at least.
Sorry, Google.
Yes.
Well, without a doubt,
everyone's important at Slug.
Yeah,
I don't need to say that.
That's kind of mean.
Is that mean?
Yeah.
Elitist.
Let's just say this, the decision makers, the taste makers, if you will. We could start here on my left, go around and introduce everybody.
I'm Esther Maronio, I'm the editorial assistant.
And I'm Alex Ortega, and I'm the junior editor.
Jeanette Moses, managing editor.
Ricky Vigil, contributing editor.
Angela Brown, editor.
And today we have each chosen a song from a local group. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk a little bit about the group, why we chose it, local music, and the state of it halfway through the year. And let's start off with Esther. Thank you for sitting so conveniently to my left. We're going to listen right now to Giraffula's Flowers off his debut album, Sounds by Giraffula. Thank you. That was Giraffula with Flowers from his debut album, Sounds by Giraffula. Do you want to talk a little bit about why you chose that artist and maybe give us a little bit of a backstory on Seth Cooke?
Yeah, so I actually chose this because our marketing coordinator, Carmia, played the album, I think, a couple times in the Slug office. And what first attracted me to him was his voice, because it kind of sounds like Anthony Green and a little bit like Craig Owens.
Oh, wow. Those are some choices right there.
Yeah.
Anthony
Explain
Green.
Explain who they are.
Yeah, so I have been a pretty big Anthony Green fan since I was a teenager. I like kind of higher pitched vocals, and that's kind of what attracted me to Seth Cooke's vocals. And he doesn't actually have vocals in all of his songs on this album. Yeah, so that's kind of the initial thing that made me take a second listen. And then the other part is that I know that a lot of people don't really like, because what he does is he's a one-man band and he has a bunch of different instruments and kind of loops them and sings over them, or, you know, plays his other instruments over the loops. And I haven't actually seen him live. I think you have, though, haven't you?
Yeah, a few times.
Yeah, so does he do that live?
He does it all live. It's pretty impressive.
That's something that I think is really awesome. I know, like, Mr. Gnomes is one of my favorite bands, and they kind of do the same thing because it's just a duo. And I think that it's really impressive that one person can get so much sound and execute it live. And so when I found that out, I thought that was really awesome, which is another reason why I picked him. I guess that I know that some people with the looping, it gets a little monotonous and it gets a little boring to listen to for some people, but for me, this is the perfect kind of music to, like, write to and to bike to. And those are two things that I like to do a lot. So when I find music that I can feel inspired by, or that can kind of play as a background track to those things, I get really excited. And that's kind of what Giraffula does for me, especially like some of the more ambient tracks. They're just really, they're kind of soothing for me. Yeah, so that's why I picked Giraffula.
Those are some good reasons. Anybody else want to sound off on what you thought about the song?
Yeah, I actually really like that kind of looping stuff too. I went through a weird reggae phase when I was a teenager, so I got super into dub. So like all the repetition and all the weird machine tricks and stuff like that's really appealing to me. I really like that because it is kind of like, even though all music is kind of an act of creation, the looping, doing stuff live like that, you can kind of feel the artist moving through the song, kind of their creative energy flowing throughout it. That's what is really appealing to me about that kind of music. And I think his vocals, they remind me actually of like the older Modest Mouse stuff, and I was into that. So yeah, I dig that song too.
I agree with the loop station comment. I think, you know, sometimes people might identify it as being kind of grating, but I think that makes the beat even that much more like pulsating or driving, even if it is slow, because it's the same and consistent each time.
It's definitely good music to like get things accomplished.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's awesome to have background music when you're like cleaning or just doing general housework or writing or walking.
So Giraffe, you love music to do housework or walk
to. Music could, to accomplish yeah, tasks to.
I could draw while I was listening to this, I think. Or like study if I was in school.
I think that it stands alone too, though. I mean, this is music that I could just like lay in bed and listen yeah, to as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a background.
I like to try and when I'm listening to this type of music, I like to try and pick it apart and guess to how they did it. Like, what instruments or machines did they use for this particular loop? I think that's kind of fun too.
Yeah, and he actually has a music video to the song Remembrance that's off of this album that kind of shows him looping the tracks and, you know, playing the instruments, which you can find on YouTube.
To download the entire full-length album, check out giraffula.bandcamp.com or facebook.com/giraffula. That's G-I-R-A-F-F-U-L-A to avoid some confusion on that. Good. Well, I think that pretty much wraps that up. Let's move on to Angela's pick right now, Spirit Master and the Architect from their self-titled debut EP.
As we walk in, we'll
Architect from Spirit Master, and they are a psychedelic rock band from Salt Lake City. Why did you choose this song, Angela?
You know, this is just an EP demo, and I don't think it's officially released, but you can listen to it on SoundCloud. And I really like this song because it was a little bit different from their other songs in their demo. It's obviously recorded live. It's really jammy. It's really stoner-ish and has kind of a little bit of psychedelica and even almost some metal undertones with that heavy bass line. So I came up with an epic equation to describe this band because this song is so epic. It's a little bit over 7 minutes long. And so the equation that I came up with, CD review style, is Flaming Lips plus Animal Collective minus Panda Bear plus Olivia Tremor Control plus Hawkwind plus Orange Goblin.
That's an extensive equation.
And this song is called The Architect. From reading a little bit about what the band has talked about in the song online, it talks about their spiritual upbringing. They were brought up LDS and currently are not, which is something that I can relate to personally. And these guys are certainly no stranger to the music scene. Two of them are from Mathematics, etc. One of them was also in a local band called Devil Whale, guitarist Jamie Tim. And it's kind of funny because they all have little nicknames, which I think just shows that they're having a really fun time in this project. So just to break down who it is, it's Josh McCaffrey, a.k.a. Pastor, that's his nickname, Matt Polopoulos, a.k.a. Mac, and both of those guys were from, again, that Provo band called Mathematica, etc., which was totally different than this sound. I mean, that was kind of an emo band from the mid-aughts. And then the other guys, like I mentioned before, Jamie Tim, who was the Devil Will guitarist, and then also Brent Dryling, who his nickname is Cool Brent. So yeah, it's obviously
supposed to name Brent.
So they're obviously just having a really good time getting together, producing some kind of spacey prog rock, and I just really connect with it. I think it's really raw and just kind of fun to listen to.
They opened for the Flaming Lips in September, so that's kind of
And apparently they're friends with Wayne Cohn now, which I can totally see. I mean, the style of music that they play does sound like early Flaming Lips stuff, kind of reminiscent from the late 80s when the Flaming Lips first started out on like some of their early records, like Telepathic Surgery. It really reminds me of this sound, too.
And what is everyone else's take on the song? You guys have all had a chance to listen to it.
I like how it just progresses from that really actually talented singing at the beginning to that really dirty, kind of more heavy way, and just propelling the song, keeping it different throughout.
That was actually one thing that I really liked about it as well, is as we were listening it just throughout the week, how many times the sound progresses and changes throughout. Did you say it's like 7 minutes long?
Mm-hmm.
Because it starts one way and then you get to about the middle of it and it sounds like it's a completely different artist, but it's still all the same. I thought that was really cool.
It's kind of reflective of, I mean, now that you've given their history, the way that the song progresses is kind of reflective of how the band and the members have progressed, which is kind of interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys would like to add to that Spirit Master info?
Well, I think it's always great to see Provo bands that are kind of dirtier make it big, you know. Opening up for the Flaming Lips is a pretty big deal. And sometimes the bands that come out of Provo that end up getting a wider audience and more popularity are kind of more of the mainstream sounding bands and kind of more cleaner sounding bands. And so it's kind of cool that these guys have made it without having to
conform to those kind of standards. I definitely agree with that. When I found out these guys were from Provo, I was actually kind of surprised because I think just the Provo area has become so known for producing bands with like the Neon Trees kind of sound that it's nice to have somebody doing something different.
I think they've since moved to Salt Lake, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
good for them.
Yeah, good job.
To purchase that EP for $7, check out spiritmaster.bandcamp.com. And for more information, search for Spirit Master on Facebook. All right, now let's move to you, Alex.
Yay!
Stark Raving Mad, easily defined, easily defeated, off their album Losing to Will It All.
Pretty funny story.
That's what it sounds like to Willa.
Yeah.
It was because they were all playing poker, and Mikey was hammered, and he was just like, goes all in, and he says, I'm losing the will it all. That's where the album name came from.
Okay.
I get it.
Funny story.
I get what you've done there. I get what they did. That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they believe they're entitled. But they do even stranger things when they just plain believe.
So that was Stark Raving Mad's Easily Defined, Easily Defeated off their album Losing to Will It All. And we heard just a very humorous anecdote about the band album title there before that. But tell us a little bit more about why you actually chose that song.
Well, I chose that song because I think that this band is really good at mixing different sort of punk rock styles. With Skunk being in the band and then kind of the other band members' history, you know, there's definitely that street punk influence. But then there's also like the crack rock steady, kind of leftover crack, no cash type of feel. And I think they blend that really well. I mean, obviously there's a lot of straight up chord strumming on power chords, but also I think that Skunk, who is one of the guitarists in that band, is really good at implementing ska rhythms in a subtle way that works with Mikey's drumming. And the breakdown in that song, I think, is really phenomenal because Mikey's just able to take the rhythm from that DB and just ease into that breakdown where it sounds, where you can almost hear like ska up rhythms or something happening, but they're not happening at the same time. And also, you know, Dave and Skunk really play well off each other in their guitar work. Those leads are really, they're really creative, and the fact that the song's in a major key, I think, is something that doesn't happen as much anymore in punk music that I hear. And also with the vocals, there's definitely a sense of melody, even though they're screamed, they're like scream song, and I think that Skunk does that really well, and Dave supports him really well. Also, if you listen closely to Mike the Bass's bass line, it's just really intricate, and he's such a talented bassist. From what I can remember, he's a finger picker, and so it's kind of hard to really play those lines on top of such a fast beat just using your fingers, because a lot of bands like that use a pick. And so I just think they're great instrumentalists, and they really know how to blend a sound that's all their own.
Punk fusion.
Yeah, basically. And it's, you know, where all the old street punk bands kind of either died or went thrash, I think they definitely are excavating something that may not have come to fruition like 5 years ago when that style of music was really big. And then also, you know, if I were to give them an equation, I'd say like Wednesday Night Heroes plus Leftover Crack or something like that, and I think it's a really interesting blend.
You mentioned that some of the other band members were in previous projects. For listeners who don't know, mm-hmm. What were some of those other local projects?
Well, Skunk has been in Dubbed, and right now he's in Desolate. That's a current project he's in. Mikey T was in Killbot and Negative Charge, and currently is also in Visigoth. I actually think that Mikey T may have currently left.
He's not in Start Grading Mad.
Yeah, he just recently left.
And so I don't really know what goes beyond that, but for the sake of this recording, it's as always with Mikey T, solid recording. And then Mike the Bass.
I just want to add something.
Yeah.
He's such a talented and diverse drummer. Some of the other bands he's been in were the Juvejoy 45s forever ago, which was a rockabilly band. And so it's really cool to see him switch between genres quite often, going from playing something like rockabilly music to metal, and then back to punk rock. He's pretty talented.
Got a diverse style.
Yeah.
Also, with Mike the Bass, he was in Dubbed as well, and Dave Sanchez was in Shackleton, and also he's currently in Simeon Greed as well. And he's a phenomenal guitarist. Like, he does something that I really admire, is like blending kind of aspects of metal in relation to music theory into different rhythms, or making it sound soft but retain a sense of harmony that's often found in metal guitar work. And I think that they all come together really well.
I think one other thing I'd like to add, I'm pretty sure Mike the Bass and Skunk have been playing together since they were in like high school. They started Dubbed forever and forever ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just the dynamic between the two of them, since they've been playing together for so long, is very apparent when you listen to something.
They've got chemistry.
Yes.
And also, Are they related?
I think they're related.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think they might be cousins.
Kissing cousins?
No, not that kind of cousins.
But yeah, because Mike the Bass writes a lot of the lyrics, and then Nick kind of articulates them in a way that are conducive to being in a punk rock song like this, and so I think they definitely take their craft to the next level beyond just three chords.
Anybody else have anything to add about that?
I enjoy punk rock.
Thank you, Ricky.
But yeah, I really do like Start Getting Mad because, as Alex says, they do combine a lot of elements of punk rock. And yeah, I really like ska. I really enjoyed Dubbed, so I'm really stoked to see two of the dudes in Dubbed still playing music and implementing that into a new project and implementing it well. So yeah, I really dig Start Getting Mad.
Ricky Mitchell approved.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of movies a lot.
And it's also, you want to make sure you see Dave Sanchez perform live, because he has the most hilarious monologues in his set talking about whatever. I'm not going to try and impersonate him because I won't do it justice, but.
It's good to know your limits, Alex.
Thanks.
Good choice. For more information, search for Start Raving Mad on Facebook. All right, we're back from a quick break.
all our minds working furiously really makes the studio hot, apparently. And our first time testing it out in the Jeanette Moses Memorial Studios. Speaking of, thank you, Jeanette, for joining us for your last podcast. You've been with Slug for a really long time, and as of the airing of this, you stopped working with us about 3 days ago.
Yep, that is correct. The day that this airs will be my first week not working at Slug, and my last week in Salt Lake City.
How does that feel?
It's exciting. It's a little scary, but it's really exciting.
That's cool. Well, thanks for all your hard work. I'm sure everyone else in the room feels the same way. I don't know. I don't want to speak for you guys. You happen to be here.
Yeah.
But yes. That's an
I concur. Drink.
What was that?
I said I concur.
You concur. Thanks, Alex guys. Concurs. We'll have drinks later to talk about that. But now let's go into the events section. Tuesday, July 24th, we've got some very exciting going-ons for Beer and Pie Day. It's colloquially known as Pioneer Day, but we call it Beer and Pie Day.
Wouldn't it be Pie and Beer Day?
Yes, that's it.
Pie and Beer Day, because it rhymes with Pioneer Day.
And there's something going on at Muse down in Provo. Anybody want to fill us in?
I would love to. Guantanamo Baywatch, who is a band signed to Dirt Nap Records based out of Seattle. Really awesome surf punk kind of band. They will be there with Don Juan and 90s Television, who are local bands down at Muse in Provo. And Guantanamo Baywatch just put out a really rad new album. We have a review online on our website in the July issue section, so I suggest checking that out.
Cool, thanks, man. And of course, there's a parade on that day that you will all be asleep during and or hungover for, so make sure you enjoy that.
We're still up raging for.
Yeah.
Why do you gotta be so negative?
I'm not sorry, man.
Maybe me and Alex will be in the parade.
Yeah. Pioneers?
Yeah.
And also, a side note, if you're gonna be lighting fireworks on that day, make sure you're doing it in an area designated by laws and common sense. Just my little shout out.
In the parade?
Exactly. At people in the parade? Is that what you said, Ricky?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Okay.
Alright, let's move on to Wednesday, July 25th. The Bouncing Souls back in town for probably their 20th time, and they'll be in the venue. Apparently this is a punk rock show.
Yes. As stated before, I enjoy punk rock. Bouncing Souls are one of my favorite bands when I was younger. I still dig them a lot. They just put out a new record. It's okay. They have a lot of really cool songs. It'd be worth going to see them play Hope is Romantic and Lamar Vinoy and all those old cool songs that they
have. I just spent my summer vacation. I always liked that one.
Yeah, Kate is Great. That's one of my favorite songs. The Gold Song. Anyway, I could talk about this for a while. They're with the Menzingers and Luther. That should be a good show.
And Friday, July 27th, it's the 1 year anniversary of the SLC Photo Collective. And it'll be featuring a 25-year retrospective of images from the Twilight Concert Series. And that's at 561 West, 261 South. We've got some photographers in the room. Are you folks going to go check this out?
Yeah, it should be cool. Dave Brewer, who's a Slug photographer, he's founded the Photo Collective, and he's an official photographer for the Twilight Concert Series, so that's why he's got all these images of national bands coming to play really big shows for Salt Lake fans for free. And he's an excellent photographer, so I'm kind of excited to see it all together in one collective show.
And Saturday, July 28th. Sarah, why don't you give us the rundown on this? Because you're so good at these events. I haven't heard your voice yet.
So it's the Love Your Local Vendor Fair at the Trolley Square Whole Foods. It runs from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And they're going to have some samples from local vendors as well as some other stuff like live music and giveaways. And it's kind of cool that a national chain like this, Whole Foods, would support local vendors. So definitely go out there and make sure that you support them and that Whole Foods knows that you're down with their support of local.
Yay, Whole Foods.
Yay.
Go check out the art in the food area. We have a Slug and Whole Foods sponsored local artist who features their art there every month.
Yeah, so this month it is Phil Cannon, who is also a Slug illustrator. He's one of my art friends. We're going to have a sketch night one of these days. I'll show you guys.
Is that what we're calling him these days?
I don't even know.
Art friend.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen, but it sounds fun. I don't know what Phil plans on, but...
Are you going to have live models?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what he's going to make me do while I'm there. But Phil's a good
You're going to his house. You're not coming here.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not okay on model.
I'm scared.
I can see Gernot over
Who's the master of the domain?
Oh, man.
I don't know why you guys are being so mean to Phil. Anyway.
And also on that day, there is a shop-wide tattoo benefit going on for a local piercer. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's going on that Saturday. Angela?
Yeah, Jeremy Israelson is a piercer. He's been piercing in Ogden, Utah for about 15 years. He's been at Lost Art for a long time, and they have Lost Art Tattoo has two locations, an Ogden location and a Salt Lake location, and they are donating all proceeds from the day. So if you go get tattooed, any of that money goes to Jeremy. He fell off a ladder earlier last month and was in a coma for a couple days and obviously can't get back to work and is still trying to heal and regroup and has a lot of medical bills. So if you can, it's a great way to support Jeremy and support a local person who's been in the tattoo and piercing scene for a long time. Help him and his family. Also, Jake Miller from Cathedral Tattoo is also donating all of his money that he would normally make that day towards Jeremy.
It's really nice of those guys. Yeah. The tattoo community in Salt Lake's really, really tight-knit, and there's a whole bunch of them, but they all seem to know each other. Okay, it's birthday time. Let's give us the birthdays.
Alex, let's do the birthdays.
Yay!
It looks like on Saturday, July 28th, Adam O'Keefe, who is our distro driver in Logan, is going to be celebrating a birthday.
You gotta do the happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Yeah, there you go.
Just like that?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Just like that.
You can put your own spin on it.
Okay. What if I like put the death growl spin on it?
That's like a trademarked move. You can try it. You can do like a weird screech. Try it on this one.
The black metal?
Yeah.
Okay. So on Sunday, July 29th, it is Sean Mayer's birthday. He's a writer for us. He does action sports. Happy birthday, Sean Mayer. That was that.
Yeah, that was satisfactory.
That was amazing.
You might have a new position here. Birthday announcer.
You play your cards right, Alex.
Who knows?
And then on Monday, July 30th, Emily Burkhart, who is part of our marketing team, is also celebrating her birthday.
Happy birthday, Emily Burkhart.
And then on that same day, Nate Housley, who's another one of our writers, is also celebrating her birthday.
Happy birthday, Nate Housley.
Great, thank you very much.
Maybe you have a career at Fridays one day. You're good at birthdays.
Like the TGIF?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have like a slug birthday song. It was like... Yeah.
Can we just do black metal screeching?
We need to go that far. Thanks, though.
JP, stop being such a Nancy.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. For more information about daily calendar events, go to the back of our hard copies of Slug, or you can check it out on the front page of slugmag.com. There's a little calendar graph/tab, and it has all the information you need on a day-by-day basis. If you want to get us information, though, about an event that you're throwing, you can email us at dailycalendar@slugmag.com. If I'm not mistaken, that's right, right?
You are correct. I'm not a stare, but you are correct.
Thank you for clarifying for the listeners at home.
Especially Ricky.
Now let's move back into the music. The namesake of the studio is about to talk to us about Pleasure Thieves. You ready,
Jim? I'm ready.
This is Pleasure Thieves' Serotonin Blue from their debut album, The Empire Never Ended. So that was Pleasure Thieves with Serotonin Blue from their debut album, The Empire Never Ended. And that just came out a little bit ago, didn't it?
Yes, it actually, it still has yet to technically be released. They're having their release show on July 28th at Urban Lounge. And this is a band, although that song, some people might be familiar with it because it actually appeared on the second Death by Salt compilation. Which the band, that might have been their only proper release up until this album. They're a band that's been around for forever. Well, not forever. They were formed in the mid-2000s, and when I first heard them, which was through the Death by Salt album, I really liked them, and I think one of the reasons I was so drawn to them is they sound a lot like Murder City Devils, who are another band that I really like. They stopped playing shows, and how they actually came back together is they were one of Lance Saunders' favorite bands as well, and he approached Dave Combs and said, I want to restart the Pleasure Thieves. And Dave Combs said, well, we need a bass player. And Lance said, well, I'll learn to play bass. And so since then, they went in, they re-recorded all their music, and are putting out their first official release. You can read more about that in the July feature article we wrote about them. But I don't know, I think so much of my love for this band has to do with kind of the how they sound similar to Murder City Devils, but also a lot of their members, or some of their members, were in another favorite local band of mine, the Corleones. Dave Combs was in that band. Although the two bands don't sound similar, I guess when I hear it being a Corleones fan, I definitely see where that influence bled into what the Pleasure Thieves do.
There's a similar energy for sure.
Exactly.
I was a big fan of Corleones as well.
I actually never got too big into the Corleones, but I do identify the similarities to Murder City Devils, but also there's this band, I think they were from Colorado, back in the early to mid-aughts, around 2004-2005, called Black Black Ocean. They had this release called Operación, and to me, they kind of sound like a sped-up Black Black Ocean. I feel like if I would have seen these guys at Kilby Court when I was 15, I would have, like, done crazy things out of enjoyment.
Well, and Dave Combs, this is his band. He's one of the guys from the Corleones, and he also works at the Urban Lounge copiously. Like, he's there almost every single weekend, and it's pretty cool to see him on stage instead of just behind the bar, because he is an awesome musician, and most people don't really recognize that. They just recognize him as the guy giving him a beer, so it's kind of cool to see him back on the stage.
Well, and it's exciting with, like, someone like Mike Sartain in the band, too, who's definitely, I mean, he does Starmie, and so people see him up there, but to see all these people who are Mike Sartain, Dave Combs, Lance Saunders, they all work at Urban, you see them there all the time, but to see them being able to play there and kind of show, like, oh, they're more than just bartenders or show promoters. They're talented musicians, too.
Yep. I like that Lance learned how to play the bass just to be in the band in, like, 6 months. I think that's really awesome. And I think that one of my favorite quotes in the feature article that's in the July issue is by Dave Combs, who says how the band could be broken up within 20 minutes of their show. But, I mean, that's kind of how they are. It's just kind of this unstable thing that may or may not work out, but they're just doing it because it's fun.
It seems like that's something that's kind of indicative of stuff like bands these days, is like sometimes they'll be around just for a short amount of time. It's almost like curation of a show that you won't ever see again, which I think is really cool that it's evanescent in that way.
Well, and I think the fact that, I mean, they played around for so many years without ever releasing anything until this really shows that they're in it because they enjoy performing. It's fun. They're not out there to try and, like, make it big or anything.
Well, thanks for that pick, Jeanette.
You are welcome.
And check out the show when they release the album The Empire Never Ended in late July. And Pleasure Thieves have no website or social network outlet. Ricky, it's time for you. Are you ready?
I am so ready. Born ready. Well, not born ready, but I've been here for a while.
Gunner. Atlan Quarterfold, if I'm pronouncing that correctly?
I don't know, but it sounds right.
From the split album with Despite Despair, Unyoke. Let's listen to that right now.
Help me, memory!
was Gunner with Atlan Quarterfold. We were actually just looking at the cover for their album there. It was really cool.
Yeah, it's designed by Derek Ballard, who plays in Gunner. He actually designed the previous EP that they put out last year, Catalog Your Faux Success. But the cover is really rad. It has a train on the front, and it's embossed in gold somehow. It has Despite Despair and Gunner's logos on it. It has a seagull lily on the train and some like weird alchemical symbol. And some train tracks on the back, and it folds out really cool to hold the CD. And there's a golden spike. But yeah, I'm glad I could describe that so all of you can imagine it in your head. But Derek Ballard, he plays guitar in the band. His website is iamconduit.com. But that's part of the reason that I really like this release. Packaging is a big deal to me. I'm a record collector. I have been for a long time. So when a CD comes out, even when it's a local CD, it makes it even more special if the design is really cool, if the packaging is really cool. And another thing I really like is that this is a split. Like, it's just kind of like a punk rock, hardcore hallmark. It's a way to discover new bands. It's a way to kind of find out about bands that you might not know about. And Gunner, I've been a fan of since they put out their EP last year. This EP actually shows them evolving quite a bit. It's a bit more melodic. The vocals on the EP last year were a lot more screeched, a lot more understrained. These ones are still, I mean, they're gnarly, but he kind of has more control over his own voice. And it reminds me a little bit of some of the more melodic hardcore bands that are still really hard, like Modern Life is War, Defeater, and some might not dig this comparison, but they remind me of kind of Touche Amore. People call them like girlfriend hardcore, whatever.
Maybe I'm kind of a girl. Girlfriends too.
Yeah, they do. I love splits. I love cool packaging. I love local bands that play aggressive music. So yeah, I am into Gunner.
I actually saw Gunner for the first time when they came with Comeback Kid earlier this year in April. And something that really struck me about their style is how subdued their guitars are. I mean, they're loud and they're present, but at the same time, with a lot of hardcore like this, you often hear the distortion turned up to 11.
Yeah.
And I like how their distortion, by contrast, is not. It kind of lets you hear all the tones they play, and it lets the rhythm section kind of shine through, and it's all not quite acoustic-y or anything by any means, but I think that it's a great technique that I've ever really thought of for this style of music.
It's loud, but it's not like overwhelming. It doesn't crush you with its loudness.
Sometimes you want to be crushed by loudness, and other days you just want
to relax. Sometimes.
Right? Yeah. And as you mentioned, Catalog Your Faux Success came out last year, and I'm really interested in hearing that now compared to the song you picked today, so thanks for picking that.
Yeah, and you can check out all their music on their website, which is
thisisgunner.com.
Yeah.
It's a great website name.
I agree. It's to the point.
And the front of the CD, the actual physical CD itself is cool as well. There are a bunch of spades, and it says Despite Despair and Gunner on each different spade. There are three of them there. And we're looking at that right now. I like that album packaging because it's environmentally friendly, as it were. It's not a bunch of excess jewel casing, and it accomplishes something, which a lot of local bands don't think about. They're just like, I'll just put this on a CD and throw it out at shows or something. But if you show that you care about how it's presented to people, I think that says a lot. So thanks for choosing that. Anything else you'd like to say about Gunner, Ricky?
Not so much about Gunner, but the split with Despite Despair. They're another band from Provo, one of the few more aggressive bands from Provo, so it's cool to see them have a physical release and have them share it with the Salt Lake band. So yeah, I encourage everyone to not only go listen to it online, but pick it up, an actual physical copy, because it's really cool.
All right, thanks, Ricky. Now let's move on to a song that I thought should get some recognition on our show today from Thunder Fist. Off their self-titled album, this is The Wizard's Lament.
We'll be right back.
So that was Thunderfist with the Wizard's Lament off their self-titled album. They're a band that's actually been around for quite some time. It started in 98, and we had them into the studio a few months ago, and I got to sit down with the guys and talk to them about their latest album, and they have since listened to it much more, many more times, and it was great. every listen.
Time.
Yeah. And I particularly like that song because they do some really good harmonious guitar solos, which, you know, a lot of the people, they forget about the dual harmony metal solos, and you can't forget about those. Forgetting about that's like forgetting presidential history in the U.S., you know what I'm saying? Is that too much?
I think presidential history is more forgettable than
yeah, I know.
Dual harmony guitar solos.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're on the same page then. And I really like that song because of their epic themes as well. There's a reason it's called The Wizard's Lament. There's a line in there from Tolkien's Lord of the Rings series where Gandalf says, "You shall not pass," and they keep repeating that. And it's a hallmark and a throwback to other metal bands like Led Zeppelin. Big fans of Tolkien's work as well. People may not think Led Zeppelin is metal or whatever, but they were some early pioneers in the heart of rock. And these guys are paying homage to that. I don't know how seriously or not they're doing it, but I appreciate it regardless.
Something that I really like about kind of going off of what you said is that there are definitely influences from Led Zeppelin, but also Thin Lizzy is something I hear there. And even like with the guitar harmonization, some Kiss in there, you know, because I know Kiss isn't like exactly like metal, but you know. They definitely left their flag in certain regards, at least in their guitar work.
Yeah.
So
there's a reason people buy Kiss condoms and coffins.
Yeah.
And dolls and lunchboxes.
Yeah.
I'm sure Thunderfist will be really overjoyed to know we've compared them in some way to Kiss, but
I think they'd take it as a
compliment.
Yeah, I think
they would enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know,
I think I'd like to suggest that maybe they do a Kiss cover one of their upcoming.
Yes,
they should.
It's a great idea. You heard it here first on the podcast.
Yes.
Christine 16 or something.
Love
it. Looking.
Yeah.
If the Kiss boot fits, right?
I guess so.
It's also cool that they took on more of a stoner metal sound for this song as well, I think. It's definitely still Thunderfist, but there are influences from Red Fang, for example, and other bands of that ilk.
Acid King.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to that, because I think more people would be interested in Thunderfist if they heard that different side of them, and any Tolkien or Led Zeppelin fans, or people in that like really epic metal themes would probably appreciate that, because the rest of the album's full of metal tropes and calling cards, so it's one of the reasons that I chose Thunderfist is my song of the year thus far. Anybody like to add anything besides that?
They actually have three guitarists, so it's like tri-harmonization.
Yeah, I wonder really how they can get that sound in the studio and then live, and it takes a lot of timing and precision, and a lot of people write metal off as not being complicated at all, but then you listen to something like that and you'd be quite amazed, something to the contrary. So check them out at facebook.com/thunderfistslc, and you can find the album for $10 on cdbaby.com.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Sound Waves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Ad-lib this section. I'm glad you guys got to come in here and share this moment with me and JP.
I'm so glad I got to see your hat fall off.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. You might have heard us laughing a little bit when that happened. Anyway, what are you looking forward to most from Craft Lake City? What are you hoping to find at Utah's only DIY festival? Drop us a line and tell us for our upcoming CLC episode. Send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. And we may play you on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine, produced by Gavin Sheehan. Associate producers are Jeanette D. Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Moronio, Jonathan Paxton, and our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design by T. Dome. And our technical design by Kate O'Connor. On next week's episode, Audrey Patton, Yelp, and a special interview from the archives of Napalm Flesh with Isan.